Mobile home parks house more than 100,000 people in Colorado, and mobile homeowner rights have been shifting within the last few years. Recent amendments to the Mobile Home Park Act, or MHPA, provide new protections for mobile homeowners, but they came at the expense of a long-fought-for cap on lot rents. KGNU Newsroom intern Yvonne Olivas spoke with housing attorney David Villot from the Colorado Poverty Law Project.
What is the Mobile Home Park Act, if you could break it down in simple terms?
Sure. It's a state law, so it's only in Colorado, and that applies to mobile home parks in the state.
What are the most recent amendments to this act?
Yeah, so this act has been on the books since the mid-80s. It was amended pretty significantly in 2019, 2020, and the most recent amendments were in 2022. I think generally speaking, though, it did add a lot more protections, you know, longer notice requirements, you know, more specific restrictions and responsibilities for the landlord, more enforcement procedures. So that's kind of how this new amendment changed the law.
Were there any standout amendments that weren't passed?
Yeah. The reason this bill was initially thought up was because of rent stabilization. Let's say you live in an apartment and rent goes up way too much for you to afford. What do you do? You just move. You find a new apartment that's more affordable to you in hopefully the same area. How does that play out in mobile home park, though? Well, you own the piece of the box that you live in. You own that, but you don't own the land that it rests on. And the landlord says your rent's going up double, you know, it's going up hundreds of dollars and you can't afford it. What do? You can't just lift up the home and move away as if, you know, another tenant can, for a lot of reasons. One, a lot of these homes are too old, you know, so they can't even survive a move. Two, it's very expensive to move a home. I think it's a couple of thousands of dollars, so it's hard to move it, you know, from a financial aspect. And then three, where do you move it to? You know, many mobile home parks won't accept, you know, new homes. You know, they only accept brand new homes. They won't accept older homes. So there's a lot of barriers to actually getting up and moving the home. So what we've seen in the mobile home space is that landlords take advantage of that, you know, and we've seen mobile home parks transfer ownership from historically mom and pop operations to larger corporations and, you know, national conglomerates who see this as an investment. They're aware that there is no rent stabilization in Colorado. Mobile home owners are tied to the lot and they don't have the freedom to just leave. I was in the legislation. It looked like it was going to pass. As it was looking like it was going to pass, well, the governor's office got wind of it. And Governor Polis said he didn't agree with the rent stabilization policy. And he said if that bill were to get land on his desk, he would veto it. So what the policymakers did, specifically I'm thinking of Representative Basenecker out of Larimer County and, you know, other stakeholders, they decided, all right, let's take up the rent stabilization part of the bill. There's a lot of great stuff remaining in this bill that we still want to see passed. Let's take out the rent stabilization so it would get signed into law. And that's what happened. So the bill passed, has all of these great amendments, except for rent stabilization.
Is there a cap on how much a landlord can increase that rent?
Not at all. And that's part of what that piece of policy wanted to address. Add some sort of cap. You know, we're not saying landlords can't raise rent, just a marginal amount. And right now, they're free to raise it as much as they like. We've seen some pretty extreme rent increases, you know, 50% increases, 70%, and that's perfectly legal under the law.
There's also been a big concern on being able to purchase the park if it goes on sale. Has anything changed or what legal action can be taken when a mobile homeowner's park goes on sale?
Yeah, so I mentioned, you know, the 2019 and 2020 amendments added, it's called the opportunity to purchase, right? So any intent on the landlord's part to sell their park triggers some notice requirements. So if the park owner, puts my park on a public market because I want to sell it, the moment I do that, the bill is amended to say I need to send notices to the residents saying, hey, I want to sell the park. And what that does is sets up a timeline. And previously it was 90 days. And in those 90 days, residents had the opportunity to come together. And if at least 51% of them agreed to say, hey, we want to purchase the park, they could put forth an offer. And the law said that the landlord had a good faith obligation to consider that offer and potentially sell the park to the residents. What we saw previously in the first iteration of opportunity to purchase, landlords were ignoring that responsibility. They're flouting it. And so with the 2022 amendments, that opportunity to purchase law was beefed up. And it was beefed up in a lot of ways, namely the timeline was extended from 90 days to 120 days, so a full month more. It was more explicit in the notice requirements, you know, so certain triggering events were more explicit. I think most importantly, to me at least, is the right of first refusal. So if the group of residents come together and they assign their purchasing right to a public entity, meaning that they transfer their right to purchase a park to, let's say, the municipality, housing authority, a nonprofit, some sort of public entity, that public entity has a right of first refusal. So if they send an offer to the park owner, the park owner has no discretion. They have to accept that offer, you know, so it's a level above good faith. So those are some of the ways that the law was beefed up to give residents a more meaningful chance to purchase their park.
Have you seen any success?
Oh, yeah.
Within
yeah.
that?
Yeah. So this is new. So we worked with the park at a Golden in Jefferson County. They went through opportunity to purchase three times. First two times they were unsuccessful. And you can imagine it was very disheartening for residents. Like I said, there was a lot of hurdles to clear. They cleared every one. They still weren't successful in purchasing their park. And I think actually this week, my clients texted me, say, hey, we are officially resident owned. They closed on their park, third time's a charm.
How can mobile homeowners learn more about protecting their rights?
Colorado Poverty Law Project, we run the Mobile Home Initiative. I welcome anyone to go on our website, fill out an intake form. You know, we do place a big emphasis on community education. I've gone in mobile home parks and done our Mobile Home Park Act training. I'm happy to offer that to residents. You know, I also want to shout out our partner organizations, 9to5, you know, in Larimer County, for example. I'm thinking of maybe Neighbor to Neighbor. There's also Brothers Redevelopment. Yeah, that's more, you know, in multiple counties. So there's also, you know, a number of organizations that do this sort of work.
Is there anything else that I did not ask that you would like to add?
You know, if you ever have questions about the law, what your rights are, maybe the landlord has engaged in some conduct that you think is questionable, always reach out. We're happy to at least just talk to you, talk about what the law is, you know, and maybe point you in the right direction. This is especially true if you get a more serious notice. You know, I'm talking about an eviction notice. If you get that sort of thing from your landlord, take it seriously. And the sooner a lawyer can get involved, the more effective we can be.
David Villot is a housing attorney with the Colorado Poverty Law Project. For KGNU, I'm Yvonne Olivas.